Hello, I'm Richard Cuddy, and welcome to this latest podcast from Midlands and Lancashire Commissioning Sport Unit. Today I'm joined by Jess Tyrrell and Rachel Newton from the Equality and Inclusion team. Hi guys.
Hello.
Hello.
And you want to talk to us today about unconscious bias. So what is that and why do you want to talk about it?
Unconscious bias is one of those topics at the minute that seems to be gathering a lot of traction, and for us as a team it's incredibly important because it plays a large role in part of a wider topic, if you will, called inclusive decision making. And when we talk about unconscious bias, we talk about the fact that our brain often makes very, very quick assumptions about other people within the first few seconds of meeting them. What that means is it has an incredibly large impact on the decisions we make. And then what happens after those decisions are made. So our unconscious bias is essentially the automatic assumptions we hold about different people, and more often than not, they form multiple stereotypes that we have that are also backed up by things such as the media and also the people around us as well.
But isn't, Rachel, unconscious bias inevitable because we're tribal animals and we're kind of hardwired in our brains to be a bit suspicious of people that don't look and sound like us?
Yeah, to a degree, our biases, the decisions that we make, are unconscious, and it's how we mitigate those, how we are become aware of the decisions that we make and why we make them, why we might gravitate towards certain people over others. And obviously in our personal lives, that's a decision that we can make. But in the workplace and in a place where we're making decisions for patients, for communities, for other staff members, these are things that we need to be aware of. We need to understand why it is that we might think this, or we need to understand why it is that we might, for example, want this person to come and join us in the team over that the other person. You know, it's important to understand why we might gravitate towards certain people and how that might influence inclusive decision making down the line.
Jess, could you just give us an example of how this might look in practice?
Yeah, sure. And I think for me, I come back to this analogy when we deliver our unconscious bias training as a team, and it's one that people might not expect, but it's a football analogy really. And I'm sorry to say I'm a Liverpool fan. Not something I had a choice in, but it's not a choice that I regret. And when we talk about football, I would say, well, if I'm a Liverpool fan and I was to meet a Liverpool fan for the first time in my life, I'd probably get on with them pretty well. We've got a lot in common. We might be able to talk about matches we've been to or places in the city that we like or certain players. That interaction could be very, very different if it was with a Man United fan. But that would completely change the interactions that you have with that person. And that's purely based on an affiliation for a football club. And you could apply that across lots of different types of things. People that you look alike, people that are the same age as you, the same ethnicity, the same religion. But also people that you have things in common with, like music, like football. You can form that affiliation with them, and then what you might do is you might do what we call the horns and halo effect. So for someone that you have that affiliation with, you might give them the halo effect. You assume that they're good, that they're a nice person. And for the people that you don't maybe have that affiliation with, so for me, maybe the Man United fans, we might be thinking, well, we might give them the horns effect. We might not have the same sort of positive assumptions about them. And then that can impact on the interactions we have with them moving forward.
So from a practical point of view, how can this have a negative effect on people?
So it can have a negative effect in lots of ways. So I come back to recruitment a lot when we talk about unconscious bias, and it's part of a wider conversation that happens in the NHS quite a lot about representation and about having the importance of lived experience in decision-making roles. And unconscious bias can have an effect and maybe potentially stop the access to those roles for people. So let's say, for example, that we are making decisions around cancer pathways for patients. Having representation at that level is really important because people access services differently. For example, black women are much less likely to come to their cancer screening opportunities than white counterparts. And having a lived experience in that role, we might be able to change how we approach groups. We might change how we address communities. We might change how we reach out to those people. And if unconscious bias stops that person getting in that role, that can ultimately lead to health inequalities down the road. And it sounds quite major, but really those are the kind of decisions that we make every day in ICBs and across the NHS. So having those people in those places is really important. It can lead to better healthcare.
And unconscious bias isn't just about things like ethnicity.
We can have unconscious bias about anything. We can have unconscious bias about regional accents, for example. That's one. You know, maybe someone with received pronunciation, we like them on the BBC, but now we've got people with northern accents and all sorts of different accents. That might be one of those things that we might assume. We might assume lots of things. We might assume education, intelligence, experience based on such a small thing as such as how someone speaks.
They talk posh, so they must be educated.
They talk posh, so therefore they must be smart.
Yeah, or in contrast, they maybe live in a council estate area, so they must be poorly educated. It's the assumptions that are held, and it can be across loads of different...
But there are definite links between things like poverty and health.
Oh, of course, definitely. But there are also certain assumptions. For example, you might assume someone that has glasses is very, very intelligent. Where's that come from? What is the basis for that? And Richard, I'm not saying that you're not, by the way. It's those sort of assumptions, and more often than not, they don't have much backing, much grounded. They're not grounded in evidence, for example. And really interestingly, before we attended a talk on health inequalities and population health management, and a GP that sat on that call said they were receiving a large number of patients who were, at the time, classified as obese, and they were trying to work out why they had so much issues with MSK-related problems. They were also unemployed at that moment in time, and they thought at the time that obesity was the issue, but actually upon further inspection and having those conversations with those people, it turns out that due to their work, manual labour, they ended up getting MSK problems, and as a result were out of work and then became obese. So it's a sort of assumptions we make about body size, as Rachel mentioned, and all those other areas, and more often than not you need to look a little bit further, and you need to actually do a little bit of research and find out who these people are, who are the patients that we're looking after, who are these members of staff, what are their needs, how can we better understand them?
Yeah, unconscious bias can be a barrier to us looking at things objectively. You know, we can maybe make an emotional decision, or we can have an emotional response to something rather than having a pragmatic response to something.
Okay, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. If you read certain newspapers, you will know that the money that the NHS spends on things like equality and inclusion is actually wasted. And if it was spent on clinical care, mm-hmm. it would be far better spent. Educate readers of certain
course.
Newspapers.
Yeah. So there's lots of things to cover here. So one of the things that we talk a lot in our roles is health inequalities. And I'm going to come back to a point that I said earlier, that, you know, having representation, having lived experience in senior roles is important for lots of reasons. But having that lived experience and making sure that we commission for patients is the key part of that. So understanding unconscious bias is, you know, understanding that we all have it, how we can try and mitigate that is sort of the next step, and that's what I'm hoping your question is asking. And through equality and inclusion work, we can try and take out the bias and put the objectivity back into decision making. And that's what myself and Jess do all the time. You know, we're huge advocates for inclusive decision making, and having tools such as equality impact assessments, equality and inclusion strategies are ways that we can put the objectivity and the pragmatism back into decision making. And that's ultimately going to help us have better healthcare down the line, and that's why equality and inclusion work is important, and is worth investing in, because it will, better decision making will save the NHS money further down the line.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a great place to leave it. Thanks, Jess and Rachel.
Thank you very much,
Richard.
If you would like to know more about Midlands and Lancashire Commissioning Support Unit, go to our website, mrcsu.co.uk.